Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Friday, October 25th, 2024. On today's episode of the show, I'm going to talk a little bit about the new Netflix documentary, The Remarkable Life of Ebelin, and present an interview that I did with that film's director, Benjamin Ree. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I was a massive fan of director Benjamin Ree's previous documentary, which was called The Painter and the Thief, came out back in 2020. I believe that's streaming on Canopy right now. If you have a library card that's linked up to that streaming service, I would highly recommend checking that out. So I perked up when I learned that his newest movie would be playing at this year's Sundance Film Festival back in January. The new movie, which was acquired by Netflix and now titled The Remarkable Life of Ebelin, tells the story of Mats Steen, a Norwegian boy who is born with a muscular disorder that ultimately kills him at the age of 25. Confined to a wheelchair and unable to participate in physical activities like traditional sports, Mats spends long hours immersed in World of Warcraft on his computer, which his parents viewed as something of a tragedy. They wished that their son could have experienced love and meaningful friendships and heartbreak like they did growing up. But when Mats died, his family received a wave of messages from their son's online pals, which opened his parents' eyes to the rich, emotion-filled digital life that Mats lived in a World of Warcraft community. And while the first few minutes of this documentary are full of archival footage and sort of talking head interviews with his family, the movie shifts to another level when it shows us lengthy CG recreations of Mats's interactions with his friends and lovers in the digital world. The movie won the Audience Award and the Directing Award in the World Cinema Documentary category at Sundance 2024. And man, this thing, it moved me to tears several times. I've said this before, it's almost like It's a Wonderful Life for the digital era. It's like a reminder that everyone has the potential to have profound impacts on those around them. And when it often feels like the internet was a terrible idea, this is a deeply moving celebration of the power of connection. So when the opportunity came along to talk to the director about it, I knew that I wanted to get him on the show to talk about his personal link to this material, what it was like directing animation, which is a new challenge for him, and more. The Remarkable Life of Ebelin is streaming on Netflix right now, so I highly encourage you to watch it and then come back and listen to my conversation with Benjamin Ree.
Well, thank you for speaking with me and congrats on the movie. I saw it back at Sundance and really, really loved it. I know that you learned about the subject of your previous movie, The Painter and the Thief, because it was covered on the local news in Norway. And you have an even closer connection to the subject of this new movie because I understand that your parents were friends with Mats's parents many years ago. So my question is, do you remember interacting with Mats or his family at all when you were growing up? And then what was it like seeing them again all these years later when you sat down to interview them?
I didn't remember it. Actually, I did not know when I began this project that I had met Mats because my parents and Mats' parents, they were in the same group of friends back in the late 80s. Then my parents moved away from Oslo and they lost contact. But I knew that they have been in the same group of friends. So the first footage I digitalized, and I did the digitalization myself, you know, these SVHS tapes that's put in a bigger VHS tape. It's the coolest kind of retro family videos. The first footage I saw was of Mats as a baby. And right beside Mats, it was me. So that was in a playpen. And I was really shocked. What a surprise. I'm not a religious person, but I almost became religious after seeing that as the first footage I saw.
I mean, that's got to be just so insane for you.
Yes, yes, it's so insane. Mats' uncle I'd known for a long time. He was my teacher at school. He also taught me filmmaking. And Mats and his uncle, they were very close. He was his first assistant at home and stuff like that. So I did have kind of a bit of connections with the family already. But I, you know, I didn't even know that I had met Mats when I started out this project.
Wow, that's so wild. So when you sat down to figure out how you're going to lay out this movie, did you have the structure of this project in your mind from the start, where you spend the first 15 minutes or so telling Mats a story through the family's eyes and then transition to telling it more from his perspective? Or is that something that you discovered later in the process?
Yes, that was the initial idea. So I think that this film, it tells the story many times. First, in the opening credits, it's kind of told very short and briefly. And then it's told by the parents, and it's a traditional family, and it gets a traditional form. It's talking heads and archives. And then we tell it again from Mats' perspective through his blog, a very kind of stream of consciousness kind of way. It's a lot of montages. And then we enter the digital world in second act, where Eblin meets Rumor there. And then the film becomes an animated film. And then we tell the story again from Mats' friend Lisette's point of view. It's a different kind of animation to the animation. So you can say that the film, it has almost like a symphonic structure, where the same kind of melodies is played many times, but differently. And I hope this adds complexity and the portrayal of Mats becomes more nuanced because of it. And the last time we tell the story, it's verbally at the funeral. And I think also that's how grief works. You know, it comes in waves. You kind of retell the story many times. And especially for Mats' family and parents, you know, they had to reevaluate their son's life. And I think that's also why we chose that kind of structure. But it was extremely difficult. Like after 1 year in the editing room, the film still didn't work.
Really? Okay. So yeah, I was going to ask about like what kind of forms the movie took and how it evolved in post-production and stuff like that. So tell me a little bit more about that. What do you mean it didn't work?
When we entered the virtual, the animated part of the film, the audience didn't want to go there. So they they didn't want to watch more. And we had like about 30 test screenings in the cinema with this film. And I think one of the reasons for that was that they were very invested in Mats' parents and family, but also with Mats in real life. But they didn't want to meet this Eblin character, this strangely bearded guy. And, you know, the film changes completely. You know, it becomes an animated film. So I think it was two scenes that changed all of that. We found a blog post by Mats where he spoke about dreaming about girls at school. And in the film, he's sitting in a tennis court and he's dreaming away. It's also a montage, and then he's ripped out of his fantasy. And it's so relatable. Everyone can relate to being a teenager wanting to experience love. That's a key scene in the film. The next real scene we have in the film is an animated scene, and it's about flirting and love. And we do something there that's not that cinematic. We actually have Mats' voiceover telling exactly what we see in the animation. And the reason why we're doing that is to create that transition kind of smoothly. And it's almost like Mats takes the hand to the audience, and then he shows them the way into the virtual world. Mm-hmm. And between those two scenes, there's an explainer telling the audience how it's done, really, how we are recreating this film. So those two scenes changed the film completely. It went from a film that didn't work at all to a film that worked very well.
That's really interesting, because I remember thinking the first time that I watched it that there's such a sense of wonder when you transition from the real life elements into the sort of video game aesthetic of the movie. There's this, I think this, if I remember right, there's this slow push in on, it might be a computer screen or something, right? And there's like some text on the screen that explains like all the information that you guys have access to. And the music is swelling, and it just feels like, as a viewer, I was in the position of being like, oh my God, I can't even believe that they're going to do this, even though that's kind of like the premise of the movie. You know, it just feels like this like Spielbergian sense of wonder almost. So can you talk about crafting that feeling for the audience? Because that's so interesting to hear that they originally rejected that idea.
Thank you for saying that. That's a fantastic compliment. I think the idea was to, you know, it's like 10 minutes with voiceover from Mats. And we really wanted to show the contrast there. You know, it's a bad VHS Hi-8 tapes or DVD tapes filming Mats. And then we're kind of entering the screen together with him. We're trying to find a form here that creates the feeling Mats had when he gamed. And there's one long take, which is Mats gaming. It's filmed by his father. And it's a kind of a long take, him sitting there. And then we suddenly, in one take, we're just dragged into the screen. And from these very cracked, bad quality family videos, we're entering Mats' screen and entering his world. And then it becomes like the screen becomes wider and the music becomes clearer, all the audio. So we're kind of dragged into that world. And I think that's also a very crucial scene in the film because we're finding a form here that shows emotionally how it was like for Mats. And I think like when you have a scene and you find a form that fits with that scene, that's the challenge always with filmmaking, I think.
Yeah, that's great. So you mentioned that you essentially became an animation director when making this. So I have a couple questions about that. The first of which is, did you even know it was going to be possible to create the visuals that this movie had? Like when you were sitting down and sort of mapping out what you wanted to do with this story, did you have to like experiment a lot with the visuals to achieve the look that you wanted? What was that process like?
I did actually not know anything what to do. So I had to, for a little while, I had to take some sleeping pills to sleep at night because what have I done? What kind of project is this? I never played World of Warcraft. I've never done an animation film before. I've only done kind of observational documentaries. So I was freaking out a bit. I've never worked with voice actors before. So in the kind of me freaking out part, I together with a colleague, we did research on YouTubers. There's a huge YouTube community that makes fan animation based upon the games. And they are doing that independently of the companies owning those games. And there we found a Swedish company called Pivotal, and they made amazing animation based upon World of Warcraft. It's just such a fantastic animation. And it was also very authentic to the game. And then I met the boss of that company. He was called Rasmus. And the first thing he told me was that it's actually only him working in that company. And then the second thing he told me, on daytime he's studying and working in the storage. It's in the evenings he's doing these animations on YouTube. And the last thing, when I asked if he could go to his offices, I'm living together with my mom and dad. So we went to his place together with his mom and dad. And Rasmus, he has done all the 3D animation in this film alone, together with two other people. They have done a lot of lighting and rigging and rendering and background characters, but he has done all 3D animation alone in the film, which is just incredible if you think about it.
Yeah,
from his living room, at his parents' place. He got like good salaries, and now he's moved away from home because of this film, which is fantastic. And he has, you know, the people I surrounded myself with were YouTubers. They had played at least 20,000 hours of World of Warcraft. So it was like a perfect fit for me. They knew that world very well. And I think like my advantage of not knowing the game was that I could, like my goal was that my 94-year-old grandmother would understand this world.
Yeah.
And feel included. So I can be the person asking the silly questions and hopefully transition that game into a cinematic way of telling it and showing it so everyone would be included into that world.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
So the other question I had about the animation was, were there any unforeseen animation challenges that you experienced on the way? Something that you didn't anticipate when you figured out, okay, this is going to be possible. Once you went through the process of actually doing it, were there any hurdles that you had to jump over?
It was many hurdles. At one point, that was actually after we figured out the entering to the virtual working. So it was like over 1 year in the editing room. It was felt very confusing because for every person we met, we also needed to introduce our avatar. So there were so many faces to remember and which person played which character. So it was a mess. The whole film was a mess for a long time. And then we found a way to like match cut interviews, the interview faces directly to the avatar faces. And that worked very well because then we kind of, it felt very natural flowing from the real world into the virtual world. And those match cut, then you immediately understood who played who. So that was it changed also a lot in the editing room. It was also a long period where we had a long scene. It was almost like a courtroom drama set into World of Warcraft, where I really wanted that to work. They almost thrown Ibrin out of the guild. It stayed in the editing for such a long time, and eventually I had to just cut it out because it didn't work. I didn't manage to make the audience invested into that scene. So it was
thing that happened where they in character had a trial basically, right?
Yes, and wow. If he was thrown out, he would also be thrown out of character as well, you know. So it was a lot at stake there, and I thought it was so fun. What if the film changes completely and become this Aaron Sorkin kind of courtroom drama inside World of Warcraft? But unfortunately, I didn't make that work.
Okay. Wow. All right. So I think I probably have time for one more question. The film explains that the archive of the group's online activities is 42,000 pages long. So did you read that whole document? How did you figure out what moments to actually use there?
That's a good question. I freaked out a bit when I heard that it was 42,000 pages. I again had to take some sleeping pills in order to sleep at night. Both unfortunately and fortunately at the same time, that forum collapsed. So we lost a lot of that archive. I ended up reducing it to 4,000 pages, and that is what we've used in the film. So it's 4,000 pages. And that's like reading War and Peace by Tolstoy three times. So that's possible to do.
Right on. Okay. Well, unfortunately, I'm out of time with you. I feel like I could talk to you all day about this amazing movie. So congrats on making it. It's incredibly moving. So exceptionally well done. Thanks for making it. And thank you again for your time today. I really appreciate
it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of the show. If you've been listening for a little while, you've noticed that I have increased the call for spreading the word about this podcast. I'm really, really, really trying to keep doing this podcast on a daily basis. I genuinely love doing this. I hope you all have formed some sort of parasocial bond with us and just really enjoy listening to the show as much as I like making it. So I'm hoping that we can kind of get the numbers up and continue to justify making the show every day. So what I need from you guys to make that happen is to spread the word about the show. So if you like the show, if you listen to us all the time, if you found anything of value in the conversation that I just had with Benjamin Ree, maybe share it on social media. Tell your friends about it. Text people. Send people links to the show. Whatever you can do to help expand our reach. I would really, really appreciate it. I know it's kind of gauche to request things like this on podcasts, but I hope you all can tell that I'm passionate about making the show. And the only reason I'm doing this is because I really care about it and want to keep it alive for as long as possible. So sorry if it's weird, but I just wanted to say that. Okay. So you can find more about the remarkable life of Ebelin at slashfilm.com. I'll link to our capsule review of it from the Sundance Film Festival. So you can check that out there. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps us out a lot. And also, once again, tell your friends about the show if you can. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.